Yeah, I think, you know, the reality is that it's always been there, you know. Sadly, you know, what's happening in the outside environment does infiltrate into the schools. You've got kids, you know, an incident, we see it a lot on the Monday morning, you know, when an incident that is gang-related would happen in the community over the weekend, and then, you know, it can then play out further, you know, in terms of retaliatory attacks or, you know, targets, you know, then on the Monday morning or that week. And, you know, with learners, you know, getting involved in gangs, you know, outside of school, you know, at the age of 15 or 14 or whatever it may be, you know, unfortunately what happens, you know, in that outside environment can sometimes then, you know, infiltrate into the school. And we've seen it over the years. I wouldn't say there is a noticeable increase. You know, the stats, you know, say if we compare it to last year, in terms of gang-related incidents, you know, reported at schools is relatively the same. But I think the problem lies in, you know, when you have a fight between learners in a school, you know, it does get marked down as, you know, a discipline issue. However, you know, whether that is gang-related or not gang-related, you know, it's not necessarily identified, you know, by the learners. They don't disclose it sometimes, and then the schools, you know, it might not be related or it may be related to gang violence. Mm. So it is difficult to manage because it's not necessarily disclosed or brought to the fore, but it's definitely a reality in our schools and something that we are always concerned about.
Yeah, but perhaps there is a different side to it. Obviously, you're touching on, I think, a very important part, and you know, in many of the conversations that we've had with teachers and learners, they point out Mondays in particular, because often it's a spillover of something that may have happened over the weekend, perhaps. However, there's also been some concern that there is gang recruitment that's happening at schools, and that may not be something necessarily that gets reported. But have there been any instances that you're aware of that they had where there has been gang recruitment happening at schools?
I haven't in all my, you know, I get a lot of information, you know, haven't seen a necessary gang recruitment in a school. But yes, of course, there are recruiting learners. You know, children are also learners, and, you know, children in the community are learners, and then there would be recruitment of, you know, the younger youth in the community, and then they go to schools and, you know, they might influence their peers. But I haven't come across any reports of a specific gang recruitment drives within a school. But I think it is definitely happening outside of school, and it might influence peers inside, you know, when they are communicating and socializing within the school context. But I think the thing is, we all know that gangsterism is something that we've lived with in the Western Cape for decades now. And it really does take, you know, everyone's commitment in terms of educating our youth, in law enforcement, the justice system, the correctional services system, social development, communities, you know, our community policing forums. Everyone needs to take part in terms of this. And, you know, it starts with, you know, in terms of gang recruitment, you know, identifying that kind of risk, substance abuse, and even violence. And it's definitely something that we are aware of, and we do not, you know, deny that this is something that exists within our learner community, but it's also something that we cannot fight alone as the education department.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think if we look at it, we look at the situation on the Cape Flats right now, we have, of course, the army deployed because the South African Police Service is unable to deal with some of the challenges related not only to gang violence, but other criminal activity across the country. And the argument is then made, if the South African Police Services are struggling to deal with gang violence on the Cape Flats, how then do you see schools, teachers, in addition to their day-to-day responsibilities of ultimately teaching and learning, how do they take on this responsibility and try and navigate their way around dealing with this additional problem of a spillover, if one can call it that, of gang activity onto schools?
Yeah, you know, I do sympathize traumatized for our teachers who have to deal with this. You know, and it's extremely scary for them too, you know, when you're dealing with a youth that can verbally abuse you and threaten you, and you know, they've got this confidence because they feel as they've got this gang support behind them, and that's it's extremely frightening for those teachers. And you know, we must realize that what they go through on a daily basis, and you know, they really are our heroes, and I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. And we try and train teachers in any way we can to, you know, we've got trauma-fueled classrooms, how to deal with that, antisocial behavior, and then also identifying learners at risk that may need further support from our psychologists or social workers from the district. But there is one other element that I want to raise, which I have seen an increase in, and which has become very, very scary, is the actual... It's outside the school environment, but it's learners traveling to and from school. And I think last year that was something that was really alarming, how many deaths we saw of just learners walking to school innocently and being caught up in gang violence. And that's where I really, like, you know, if a child cannot even get to school safely, you know, where are we going with, you know, in society? And I think was something that definitely raised alarm bells last year in terms of our learners need to get to school safely so that they can be in a safe learning environment, because, you know, without that, you know, and without education, you know, where's our future in terms of a country going? But, you know, we need to, first and foremost, get them to school safely. And I think that's where, you know, we saw such violence in such communities and these terrible incidents where innocent learners were getting shot and killed, you know, walking to and from school. And that is something that, you know, we have wonderful support from our Metro Police, excellent support from them. And, you know, SAPS are doing all they can in terms of what they can do in terms of the resources that they've been provided in this province. And, you know, we continue to work with them and community policing forums and the wonderful neighborhood watches to support, you know, the communities. You know, we have identified communities where we see more gang incidents, you know, communities like Manenberg, Leamsdale, Montehiego, you know, in terms of our statistics, where we can see increased gang activity that has happened in schools, where they're shooting outside of school, threats by gangsters to schools, or, you know, identified learners that have participated in gang activity or violence in the school environment. But, you know, we can target those areas, and we do work with different authorities to target those areas. But again, you know, it's a whole of society approach to succumb it.
Brianna, perhaps just your final take on an issue that's being raised by one of our listeners, asking about sort of a lack of values within the education system currently, mm-hmm. and whether or not you think that contributes to it. I won't put you in the position of asking you if you think it should make a return from a curriculum and schooling perspective, but just if you think it's maybe contributing, you know, the overall moral decay to the kind of things that we are seeing at schools.
So we went on a huge drive in terms of values-driven education. You know, from 2018, there was a program of values-driven education where we encourage schools to choose values per month. If you look at schools, you know, it says there's signs that say enter to learn to serve, and it was all about values. And that is something that is definitely that we are continuing to drive in schools and want schools to drive. But it's also something that conversations that parents also need to have at home with their children, you know, and that's where it all does begin. It does begin with those values, and I completely agree with that listener and those concerns. And that's something that, you know, we were talking about bullying, you know, over the last few days, in terms of a campaign, an anti-bullying campaign. And there was a discussion with Emma Sadia yesterday, actually, and I said to her, you know, where do we start? You know, what would you see as, you know, your first and foremost in terms of anti-bullying? She says, you know, just values and kindness, you know, treat people with kindness and respect. And that's where it all starts. So I think it's just conversations continuously with our children, and promoting it in schools as well.